Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, as America celebrates its National Day of Prayer, we urge you to pray for our political and military leaders, as well as for our troops serving abroad. Pray that the United States will continue to be a source of blessing and a beacon of liberty in the world. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our National Day of Prayer broadcast. I tell you, what a great thing that our nation sets aside a day to pray. And you know, this goes back a long ways. I'm not sure I understand all of the history of it, but I know that Lincoln called us to a National Day of Prayer. I think Washington did from the very beginning. And what I'd like to do today, just kind of to celebrate this, is to play for you a prayer that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, prayed. And it may surprise you, some of the godly heritage that we have right here in this nation. So we're going to play this, and then I'll come back and we will finish out our Gospel Truth broadcast today.
My fellow Americans, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer as we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage, unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in Thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With Thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
So, you know, I hope that blesses you, and it's probably going to surprise some of you how outspoken some of our government leaders have been on the subject of Christianity. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with us standing up and admitting that we're Christians. We're being intimidated sometimes by the political correct people and the people who are really anti-Christ. But I just encourage you today on this National Day of Prayer to stand up and be counted. Let people know that you're a believer and that, yes, you are praying not only today, but every day. Amen. We are now into the beginning of my fifth teaching out of this six-part set on this. I've already talked about how that we're in a spiritual warfare, and you ignoring it doesn't mean that you aren't in the warfare. It just means you're going to lose. We've talked about where did Satan get his authority from. It wasn't from God. It was actually from us. He took man's authority, and he has been oppressing mankind with human authority that God gave us. That's the reason he has to have a person to cooperate with him before he can do anything. So that was a major deal. We talked about that. And then I spent, there were two teachings that I did on with authority comes responsibility. And I began to show that when God gave us the authority, such as James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "You resist the devil and he will flee from you." If you don't take that authority and use it, then you tie God's hands. God cannot, will not, doesn't matter, He is not going to rebuke the devil for you. You have responsibility. And I explain that this is why people aren't prosperous and why they aren't healthy and they aren't blessed and things. It's not because they haven't prayed enough and asked God. It's because they aren't taking their authority. We talked about how to release that authority by speaking to your mountain and using words. What I want to talk about now is that you need to recognize that when we take our authority, all we are doing is enforcing spiritual laws and realities that Jesus has put into place. And I think it's important to make this point, because if you've understood what I was saying up to this point, if you see yourself as having power and authority, one of the mistakes that people could make is that you go out and you just start taking authority and you're going to make things go whichever way you think they ought to go. And it ought to be obvious to us that the ways of God are higher than our carnal ways. That there's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And you know what? You need to know what God's will is, what God has provided. For instance, let me use this example that, you know, in law enforcement, a policeman is using authority. When a policeman sits there and holds up his hand and stops a Mack truck, I guarantee you he doesn't have the physical power to be able to do that, but he's got the authority of the government behind him. And because of that, all a policeman's got to do is hold up his hand. And I mean, this huge truck that is many times bigger than him will come grinding to a halt because it recognizes his authority. But you know what? A policeman doesn't have the authority to do just whatever he wants to. Now, there's some that take it and apply it that way, and there's people that, you know, that's police brutality and there's abuses. But I'm saying if they operate properly, they have to know what the laws are, and they're bound by the laws. They can only enforce laws that are already on the book. And if you were to take my teaching up to this point and recognize that we've got power and authority and you can speak to the mountain, if you aren't careful, you'll go out and start using this power and authority in a selfish way, which God will not back up. Our enemy, the devil, he knows the laws better than we do. And I can guarantee you, if, say, for instance, you're sitting there and you've taken Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so you've understood this about authority. And so you're just going to take authority and you are going to make things start happening. So you go out and covet your neighbor's house. And I want his house. I believe that God's getting them out and I'm getting their house. And so you start using your authority to do that. Did you know God won't back that up? It's one of the commandments not to covet your neighbor's house or his wife or his animals. Covetousness is not of God. God is not going to get you whatever you lust for. And so if you try and take this authority to go out and say, you know, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that I'm winning the lottery. You know, I could teach on this. I'm not going to take time to do it. But the lottery is not God's system. There's scriptures that talk about wealth gotten by vanity takes away the life of the owners thereof. There's a way to prosper quickly, but the end of it is death. And on you could go. God doesn't fix lotteries. God doesn't drive people out of their homes and destroy other people. He doesn't make other people fail so that you can succeed. You can't sit there and lust after somebody else's wife and claim her and command the person to die so that you can have his wife. See, there's boundaries to all of this. I'm not backing off of my teaching on authority at all, but I'm just saying that you've got to know the law. Just the same as a policeman would have to know the law before he would know how far his authority goes and what he can do. And likewise, there are many of you, and I'm not saying this to be critical, but there are many of you that don't know the word. You don't know what the law teaches. And so because of this, you've heard me talk about that God's already done it. His part's done. Now it's up to us to take our authority and release it. And you're going to go out and just operate this according to your lust and desires. And what's going to happen, you're going to offend a lot of people. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to not see the power of God manifest. You can get into trouble. You know, authority, understanding your authority is a powerful thing, but it's like a weapon. If you give a kid a weapon that could be used for good, it also can be used for evil if you don't observe the right laws about how to deal with it. And so, I've used this example before, but see, if you were to just understand what I've said about healing, and you say, well, man, I know it's God's will. He's given me this power. He said He gave me power and authority over all of the force of the devil, and I am supposed to go heal the sick. And so you just go into a hospital room and you start commanding things to leave and telling people that this has got to happen. And if you don't understand that that person has a part to play in this, that they have to believe that even Jesus couldn't do things against people's will. See, if you don't understand these laws and put it into its right perspective, you could go out and make a total fool of yourself. You could offend other people. And there's just a lot of damage that can be done by that. You know what? If you're going to step in front of an 18-wheeler and try and stop it by raising your hand, you better have the law on your side. Amen. And so you better know what the Word of God says. And brothers and sisters, in a way, this is taken away from what I've said. I know that it's taken some of the excitement away from it for you because, man, you're all pumped up and excited hearing the truth and recognizing that you have the power and the authority. But now I'm saying you've got to go to the Word of God and you've got to start training yourself and learn. It's not going to be just implemented immediately. You've got to learn the Word of God. And I know that that puts off some people and discourages you, but it's the truth. You've got to know the Word of God. Let me give you some examples of how this works. This is in Mark chapter 5, and this is an instance where Jesus was going with Jairus to his house to raise his daughter up. Jairus didn't know it when he asked, but his daughter had died, and it turned out that Jesus had to raise her from the dead. And as they went, it says this in Mark chapter 5 and in verse 24. It says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?'" Now, the word thronging here means that these people were pressing on him. They were seeking to touch him. There were examples previous to this where people had just touched him and that virtue flowed out of him. So these people, lots of people were around him. Everybody was touching him is the point that they're making. So what are you saying? Who touched me? Everybody's touching you. But see, there was a difference. There was a person who touched him in faith. And you may not use this terminology, but there was a person who understood that God loved them, that God had provided this. And what this woman was doing, I'm going to point these things out more in detail, but this woman was taking steps of faith and releasing her authority, reaching out and taking this healing. It's the attitude that I've been trying to present. Rather than passively praying and saying, "Oh God, we have no power, would you please do something?" No, this woman took authority. She did something. There's so many people that are praying and asking God to help them, and they're dying physically, emotionally, financially. And they desire the right things, and they believe that God can do it, but they aren't aggressive. They don't understand that they have the power to do something. And so they're just sitting back and praying, and there's multitudes of Christians like this. This woman touched Jesus, and Jesus could tell the difference between her touch and everybody else's. So he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" And of course, theologians sit there and say, well, of course, he was God and he knew everything. And so this was a rhetorical question. He knew exactly who it was and everything. I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus was God. But, you know, and I'm not going to get into all of this, but there's three examples in the book of Jeremiah where the Lord said that you have taken your children and sacrificed them unto the devils. And I never commanded this, neither came it into my mind once. And he says twice, neither it came into my heart. Three different times he says that. So I believe that Jesus, as God, could have known everything. But apparently God doesn't exercise his ability to know everything. Because there's three times just in Jeremiah, and there's other places, where he said to Abraham, he says, "I did this, and now I know that you are going to honor me," after he had offered the sacrifice of Isaac. I believe that God has the ability to know everything. He's demonstrated that and prophesied things hundreds, thousands of years in advance. But he told us to think on things that are honest and pure and lovely and of good report. And I believe the reason he told us to do that is because that's the way that he is. God doesn't want to just think of every perverse, rotten thing that the human race is going to do. And I believe that he just doesn't exercise this ability. Plus, you take this fact that Jesus was in a physical body. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus didn't come out of the womb speaking Hebrew. He had to educate his physical mind. In the spirit, he was God, but in that physical body, he was man. He was sinless man, but he was man. And I believe that when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" he meant just exactly what he said. Now, this woman wasn't forthcoming, and so Jesus drew on the gifts of the Spirit and drew on his divinity that was in him. And I believe he singled this woman out. And when she saw that she couldn't be hid, she came forward and said what had happened. But the point that is important here is that when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I don't believe he knew who had touched him. He didn't size this woman up. And see, here's another thing that people stumble over. They think that in order to receive a healing like this, that you go to God, you petition God. You don't have any control. You just lay a petition out there, and then God evaluates you based on whether you're holy enough, based on whether you've prayed enough, based on whether you have been reading your Bible or whatever the criteria is that people put down. But basically, God has to approve your request. See, that's not how this worked. The Lord didn't have time to size up this woman. The Lord didn't even know who touched him. But rather, the power of God operates under laws. Over in Romans, it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. There are laws that govern faith. There are laws that govern the kingdom of God. God will not violate them. And before you can begin to start seeing the kingdom of God work, you've got to learn what these laws are and begin to conform to them. Your authority only gives you the authority to enforce laws that are already done. Man, that's a powerful statement. Right now, I could go a bunch of different ways to make that point. Let me just refer to this real quickly. I've already mentioned this in Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And I actually have an instance. This is an actual thing that happened when I lived in Arlington, Texas. There was a woman who got into the faith movement and she started a Bible school in Arlington, Texas. And she took Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Well, you know what her desire was? That was to make Kenneth Copeland her husband. She believed that that's who God had picked for her. And so there was just a small problem of Gloria Copeland being married to Kenneth. And so the way she dealt with this, she said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. And she cursed Gloria and commanded Gloria to die and get out of the way. And then she was going to marry Kenneth Copeland. And she got her Bible college students together. She actually had a wedding dress and she stood there and in the spirit married Kenneth Copeland. Of course, Kenneth wasn't there in the physical body, but in the spirit she had this wedding ceremony. And she stood on Mark 11:24 and just commanded Gloria to die. Kenneth was going to be her husband. That's been 30 years ago at least, maybe more than that. And guess what? Gloria didn't die yet. Kenneth has not become available. He didn't marry this woman. It didn't work. And of course, most people hear a story like that and think, of course not. You should never do that. Well, why not? Doesn't it say whatsoever things you desire? Isn't coveting somebody else's mate a desire? Isn't wishing somebody else to be dead a desire? Doesn't that fit Mark 11:24? See, the answer to this, instead of just on an intuitive basis, you just sitting there and saying, I choose to believe this. No, I don't believe you can do it that way. How do you know how far to take a scripture? The key to it is that the kingdom operates by laws. And you can only appropriate what God has already provided through Jesus. You know the reason you can't use Mark 11:24 to kill another person and marry their mate? Is because God, through Jesus, didn't purchase murder and adultery as part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, you can operate in all the faith you want to, and it's not going to work because there wasn't an appropriation for it already. God hasn't provided it. It's the same reason you can't take Mark 11:24 and go out and say, I confess with my mouth that I'm going to steal $1 million and get away with it and nobody can catch me. You can't do that because God didn't provide thievery for you in the atonement. So you can only appropriate what God has already provided. But here's the flip side to that coin, that if God has already provided it, then there's no point in you asking and begging for it. Instead, you need to find out what has been provided, and then you stand up and take your authority and you make that come to pass. This is another law of God. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. If you are going to believe God for something, it's not a matter of just asking and then waiting, but instead, God has put power in your words. You've got to say to this mountain, you've got to curse things that aren't of God and bless things that are of God. You've got to release life and death. And if you start putting these things into practice, see, this woman just reached out, put these laws into practice. She acted on the things that God had revealed to her, and the power of God flowed to her. She was healed without Jesus sizing her up, approving her and saying, oh, you're such a holy woman. I think I'll grant your answer to prayer. See, this, it isn't personal. There are some of you that right now are personally offended as if God has let you down. God hasn't let you down. I'm not saying this to add to your guilt or condemnation, but it's us that's let Him down. It's us that don't understand what He's done. And so we're asking Him and begging Him to do things that He's already done and put that power on the inside of us. And it's just us that hasn't taken our authority. We're perishing for a lack of knowledge. That's what Hosea said. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. We just don't know the truth. The truth will set us free. That's the reason that I'm on television sharing these things. And if you could get this concept that you don't just take your authority and now go to commanding God and command this and command that. What you do is find out what has God provided. What is in the atonement of Jesus? What is God's will, which is exactly what the Word of God is written for us to reveal this. And if you could find out through this what God has given you, then instead of being a beggar, instead of being someone who goes to God and in pity is asking for help, you go and you start thanking Him for what God has already provided. You take your authority. You release life and death with your words. You act in agreement with what God says. And through all of these things, what you're doing is releasing what God has already put on the inside of you. You are enforcing what has already been done. You know, a policeman, again, he doesn't sit there and make the laws. He just enforces what's already on the book. And there are people who don't submit to the laws, and so you have to bring them into subjection. Satan is doing everything he can to rebel at what God has provided and stop you from getting it. And he takes advantage of us because we don't know what our rights are. We aren't enforcing it. Sometimes you have to subdue him. Sometimes he resists, and you have to fight through it. You know, I've got more to share on this, but I'm out of time today. I'm going to have to continue this on my program tomorrow. So I'd like to encourage you to listen in then. And also, if you would listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how you can get this brand new book, study guide, DVD, CDs. There's a lot of materials. So listen and call or write today.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album titled Law Enforcement is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net.